So our sermon text this evening comes from chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is encouraging us and warning us to have a readiness about our lives. Now, being ready, I have learned from growing up with a mom and a sister, and now currently surrounded by four lovely ladies. Some might say I'm living, others might say I'm surviving. I've learned that the word ready has this wide, unexplainable variation to the definition of the word. Ready does not mean the same thing to everybody. And I had to learn that the hard way. Now, I'm not claiming to be this prompt person. You can ask our church staff. I've been late for a few meetings. You could ask Pastor Lyra. I've been late to a few of my classes. Being unprepared, late, not ready, some of the time is understandable. But to be ready for only what you want to be ready for and not ready for anything else, unexplainable. How and why this is my life, I'm not sure. Do you all know anyone like that, that has redefined? She knows somebody like that, that has redefined the word ready. I'm not complaining. I'm still thankful. I'm thankful that during my lifetime, my family has been able to redefine words that I thought I knew. I'm thankful to be relearning words alive and well and in my right mind to talk about it. I'm also thankful that you and I can be unprepared for some things and we don't lose anything if we aren't ready. There is one thing, though, that if you and I are not ready for, we will lose everything. We do not know the time when Jesus will return. But when he returns, you and I have to be ready. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with them to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. This is the word of our Lord. So the parable setting is a wedding. While wedding customs vary, they followed a general pattern back then. Betrothal, procession, and wedding banquet. During the betrothal, the groom would pay a price for his bride. And then there would be a procession. Now, legally bounded, the couple had to wait till their wedding came. Once the preparations were done, then the groom went to go get the bride. While they were waiting, the groom prepared a special place for the bride. Jesus has paid the price for his bride, the ultimate price. Jesus has prepared a special place for us. Jesus is going to get, Jesus is coming back to get his bride, the church, God's people. Now, after the betrothal, procession took place. During the procession, the virgins, or as we know, the bridesmaids, are supposed to watch over the bride until the groom returns. Once the groom arrives, the bridesmaids are supposed to light the path and guide the bride to the banquet. Please notice, all 10 virgins have a calling. All 10 have an assignment. All 10 have a purpose. They all have a part to play in the wedding. And the groom wants all to come to the banquet, to the feast. The 10 virgins represent God's people, God's children, all creation, everybody that Jesus went to the cross and died for. Please also notice this. There is no middle ground. There were 5 foolish virgins and there were 5 wise. No in between. All received an assignment. All had a purpose. All was called, but not all of them took their responsibility seriously. 5 of them took oil so that they could keep their torches lit, because that was their calling. That was their assignment. If you did not have oil, you were unable to be a light. You were unable to fulfill your assignment. So 5 of them were prepared and 5 of them were not. The groom was delayed, a long time coming, the text says. In the parable before this, the master, Jesus, arrived unexpectedly, and the servant was not ready. In this text, the groom, Jesus, arrives unexpectedly, and the bridesmaids are still not ready, even though he is delayed. When the announcement is made that the groom has arrived, it's very interesting how only 5 are ready, but all 10 expected to enter into the banquet. While they were waiting, they fell asleep. Did they not have time to prepare and go get oil then? I mean, if you all have been in weddings before, you know when you're in a wedding, right? You know what you have to have in order to be prepared for the wedding. And yet the five foolish ones was unprepared. When the call was made that the groom arrived, they all awoke from their sleep. And the five foolish ones said to the five wise, let me get some of your oil. Now I could imagine the scene, people trying to borrow stuff from each other at a wedding. Maybe that would have got pretty hectic. But see, the oil was something that they could not share. That's why when the foolish ones asked the wise bridesmaids for their oil, they're like, nuh-uh, you're not getting none of my oil. It didn't even make sense to them. How would they fulfill their calling? How would they fulfill their assignment? If they gave the oil to the foolish ones, no one will have any light. You couldn't do it. Similar enough, you and I can't give the gift of our Holy Spirit that the Lord has given to us to anyone else. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for your use only, for your salvation only. Can't give away the Holy Spirit, can't give away your salvation. It's for your use only. You and I can't save anyone else, and no one else can save us. We can't get saved by association. It's the Holy Spirit that has to give us faith so we believe. If your parents are the only one who goes to church, they're getting ready. You are not. Good for them. Not so good for you right now. If your spouse is the only one that's praying, they're getting ready. And you are not. Good for them. Not so good for you right now. We don't enter into the banquet through who we know or what we do. We can work for a ministry. We can surround ourselves with a lot of Christian friends. Their salvation is not going to get us in. You and I can't give salvation, and you and I can't get salvation from anywhere else other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in studying for the text, I came across a podcast, Two Steps Forward with James and Aid, that I would highly recommend. I don't have time to share the whole story, but if you have time, please check it out, because Aid shares a very interesting story, how she was taught Judgment Day. But what they were summarizing in the podcast, which I agree with, chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel, is about counterfeit Christianity, hypocrisy. You and I struggle when we don't look down the line far enough. When we don't look down the line far enough, you and I find ourselves unprepared. Unprepared for the challenges we face. Unprepared for our callings. Sometimes unprepared for the blessings that we should receive. Sometimes unprepared for our purpose in life. In our first reading from the book of Hebrews, verse 5 of chapter 13 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Keep your lives free from chasing money so you can be prepared for other blessings Jesus may have for you. Keep your lives free from chasing title, jobs, careers, so you can be prepared for other callings that Jesus may have for you. Keep your lives free from chasing relationships. Don't let them consume you so you aren't blinded by other challenges in life, or you don't get into other relationships you are meant to have. God disciplines those he loves, so we learn from them, so you and I can be better prepared for what the Lord has for us down the line. The 10 virgins in this story are talking about people who go to church every week. The 10 virgins are people who have church lingo when they talk to others. People who wear church merch. People who hear the word, but their lives don't reflect God's calling. In chapter 1 of the book of James, God calls this listening and doing. Again, towards the end of chapter 1 of the book of James, God calls this listening and doing. It's not listening and then saying. People have to see you live out your faith. And when you look at the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish ones and the 5 wise ones, again, it's not like they didn't know they were in a wedding. And they knew who the groom was and his authority. They came to him, "Lord, Lord, please let us in." They knew their calling, but they disregarded their responsibilities. They didn't take their calling seriously. They didn't take their faith seriously. Just days before Jesus would die on the cross, he spoke these parables to his disciples. He knew exactly when he was going to die. He knew what hour. He knew the exact hour of his resurrection. But in the parables, his focus was on what lie ahead, what was down the line, his return. And Jesus makes it clear, we won't know when that is. So the charge, keep watch. Keep watch. Why? Because when we live with spiritual readiness, we prioritize what matters. When we live with spiritual readiness, you and I prioritize what matters. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. If every day could be the day Jesus returns, then we must live every day with the same readiness. Be ready to live a life obedient to all of God's word, not just some of it. Be ready to live a life where you are a light to others. Be ready to live a life that bears fruit in keeping with repentance. We want the love from Jesus, the kindness from Jesus, the goodness from Jesus to be flowing out of us. People should see this in our lives. People should see this in the way we treat one another. And if you have been pursuing the wrong things in life, if you have been hypocritical, or even at times if you found yourself just not ready to surrender and put all your trust in the Lord. Know that you and I are forgiven for not always being prepared. You and I are forgiven for sometimes being complacent. You and I are forgiven for sometimes being late. Jesus is patient. He's going to delay his coming until he has all of his children. But there is a readiness that Jesus is encouraging us and warning us to have. Be ready for life by being ready for grace. The grace that comforts you, the grace that heals you, the grace that restores you. The undeserving love that only Jesus can give you. Jesus isn't calling us to freak out. We can relax. He's calling us to prepare for what he has down the line for us. He's inviting us to stay faithful and hopeful in a world that will try to distract us and take our minds of the eternal life promised to us and what our Lord and Savior died for us to have. We have to keep our minds and our hearts focused on the truth. For here, we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. So we watch and we wait. We live today in light of what's to come, our return home. This world is not your home. Heaven is your home. In his presence, in his peace, in his grace. Let us pray. Father God, help us live a life ready to receive your kingdom. Keep our minds hopeful, keep our hearts steady, and keep our lives focused on what matters most. Help us be watchful and ready for your return. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Marcus MKE Sermons Podcast. If you'd like to take the next step in your faith walk, we encourage you to download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church, or fill out our online Connect card. Through the app, you can share prayer requests, receive weekly updates, and discover opportunities to get involved. It's a great tool for staying rooted in the rhythms of worship, study, serving, and giving that keep us spiritually nourished. See the episode description for the link to download. If you're inspired by these messages, please subscribe, leave a rating, and share them with a friend. May God's love and grace guide you today and every day.